This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. To talk about what's going on Michigan Avenue, is the Mag Mile dead? And Stock Picker Monday, that's at 12:49. An investing pro will be here to give us you some advice for your portfolio. The week ahead includes the possible impeachment of President Trump and key data, including the latest measure of inflation and the report on retail sales. Andrew Bush is here, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He's an economist, found online at andrewbush.com. Andy, let's talk impeachment first. The Democrats are saying they will vote on it tomorrow, maybe Wednesday as well. It looks like at least in the House, this is going to happen this week.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising, not really, that they would move forward very quickly on this. But the process itself, the founders and the framers of the Constitution made it so that you can't move forward quickly on things like this. Because why? We don't want to have the ability to quickly throw out a president because that leads to anarchy. Even more, I mean, I realize people will say, well, Andy, what happened last week, isn't that anarchy? And I would say, yes, it is, but that was a small group. You throw out a president who had 74 million people vote for him, that is really difficult to overcome. So the framers of the Constitution made the process of impeachment difficult and slow. Same with the 25th Amendment. So my guess is that anybody who thinks that this is going to move forward quickly, that you'll oust President Trump, are going to be mistaken. I don't see this moving forward any more than what the House is doing this week.
And so in the meantime, you have a president with significant powers, and that, I would imagine, is concerning given what happened last week.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are playing that up for sure, and I understand why. I mean, if you listen to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she believes the president is unhinged, and that's her opinion. But I would say this, I have a little bit more faith in this president, not that I want to say on this particular point, but I would say that there are concerns that drove a lot of volatility in the financial markets and with the economy over the last week, to be sure. And today we're continuing to see some of that fallout, especially as tech stocks get hit because they banned the president from their platform. So I just want to point that out. I mean, it's really interesting to see that the markets are saying, hey, if these guys are acting on their own, then that's probably not good because there will be a backlash against that. So keep that in mind when we're looking at this really chaotic, tumultuous period, that when people act on their own, Some bad things can happen, not only in the Capitol, but also with stocks.
And there's the challenge where there are these moments where things are very acute and they have to be taken care of. And then on the other hand, you do want to also have a long range thought of what exactly the long range problem is here.
Yeah, and I think that's the major thing to take away from this. First and foremost, like, how in the world is our Capitol that open to having a mob of, I don't know how big it was, 8,000 people come in and totally disrupt it? So you're going to see a lot of inquiries about that. Already people have resigned their positions in security around the Capitol, and that's the starting point. The second thing is like, what's interesting to me is what's happened in the financial markets. There was a little bit of volatility, but I will tell you, Cisco, the markets are looking beyond this event, and they're looking forward to a Biden presidency. But they're also really looking forward to the ability of the U.S. economy to snap back as more people get inoculated. And I think the best news that came out today, which is kind of shoved aside, is that former FDA guy Scott Gottlieb came out and said, hey, drug companies should open up the people who get vaccinated in February, not just to the, you know, very special groups, because there's not enough demand. Open it up for everybody so more people can get inoculated faster. And I think that's the best news that I saw today.
Thanks so much. Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, the political site Parler is offline after tech companies refused to carry it. The conservative political site Parler has now been shut down by Amazon, Apple, and Google, basically wiping it off the internet in the aftermath of the assault on the U.S. Capitol by backers of President Trump. We're joined by Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Gary, what do you make of essentially wiping out Parler?
Well, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is we're seeing inconsistently applied rules that are out there. The suggestion is that we're taking them down because of all the threats of violence on Parler. And to be clear, there is. I've seen a bunch of threats of people's lives for murder on Parler, but we also have seen that everywhere else. And what they did was on everywhere else is they would take down those tweets or whatever was put on Facebook. They didn't shut down the whole kit and caboodle. So, you know, this would be a classic case for the Justice Department and antitrust and coming in and saying, hey, you're shutting somebody down because they're competing with your business. But we're in the world of politics right now, and that's taken over. And where she stops, we don't know. Parler says they'll be back up in a week or so. Based on, they'll have new servers and stuff like that. I'm sure that's what's going to happen, and the fight is on.
But then you still have a situation where if Apple and Google say they will not allow the app to be downloaded from their respective stores, then where's the outlet? I mean, most people do this stuff on mobile platforms.
Yeah, you'll have to probably straight to their own. They're going to have to come up with something of their own where you got to go straight to them. Simple as that. You know, I have to say that many months ago when Bernie Sanders was running for president, there was a video that he put out that from years ago saying that he wanted 100% tax rates over a certain amount. And I put out a tweet that, man, that smacks of communism on economic policy. Twitter shut me down for a day because of that. And that was the same day there were death threats against Israel. And that's what I mean by, you know, selectivity here. But look, they own huge swaths of the social media, Google's 98% of searches. It's going to be tough to fight this and fight them, and they are what they call private companies, and they'll end up getting their way.
Now, let's talk about Twitter. You have that stock, which went down as much as 12% earlier today, maybe a little more than that. Now it's down about 5.5%, as you are hearing about a number of users who are leaving the platform and some who are being forced to leave the platform.
Well, that should affect them over time, leave no doubt. I mean, the president, I think, had 80 million followers, and a lot of people are moving away. And from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are losing their followers like there was some sort of big purge over the last few days. So, yeah, that's going to affect them to a certain extent. How much, I don't know. They're a gargantuan business with a zillion people on there, so I doubt it's going to be a big hit, but leave no doubt. Just remember, there was once a MySpace before Facebook shows up, and you never know what comes next. And if they're all smart, they better be looking over their shoulders and stay paranoid about the next application to come.
Well, and since this is the Noon Business Hour, what is an investor to do, given the fact that, as you're mentioning, things are fluid and one giant is not necessarily always the giant?
Yeah, I would... there are two things going on. Right now, Amazon, Facebook, Google, their stocks have been stagnant for 6 or 7 months. I think they may have hit a wall, not because anything's wrong, but valuations are just up in the trees and got very overowned and overloved. So I'm not a big fan of these this second. If they keep growing their business, which would be amazing considering their size, in the years ahead, these stocks will go higher. But I just think right now, And it's been that way for about 6 months. I think it's dead money for this second, and I would just avoid right now.
Thanks so much, Gary Kaltbaum. He is president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Find him online at GaryK.com. Up next, the future of Chicago's Magnificent Mile appears to be shaky. Also later in the show, 12:49, it's Stock Picker Monday.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago's iconic North Michigan Avenue shopping district, the Mag Mile, reflecting the pain of the pandemic, plus the struggles of brick-and-mortar retail. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Ali, it's always good to have you on the show. We have Macy's saying it's gone from Water Tower Place. The Gap is going too. It seems like this is just reflective of significant challenges for that end of Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, you're right. And it's something that's been going on for a while, right? It's a continuation of kind of the struggles of brick and mortar as we shift online, and then the pandemic kind of accelerating that a little bit as we become even more dependent on online shopping. You know, it's interesting because I talked to a lot of experts at the store and observers who said that they don't think this is, you know, spelling death for the Mag Mile. I think there's still a lot of potential there. But they think that maybe it needs to be reinvented a little bit, you know, so it's not, you're going there not just to shop and eat or to look at the architecture, but to really hang out and experience things. So it was kind of interesting to hear some of their hypotheses on what could be.
Is that Mag Mile area, as far as all the shopping going on, heavily dependent upon tourists? I mean, is that one of the challenges? Until we get tourists back, there's really nothing we can do there?
It is, yeah. So to throw some numbers out at you on that, there's a pedestrian counter near 401 North Michigan. And in 2019, they counted 6.1 million people passing by. And in 2020, that count was almost sliced in half to 3.6 million. If we look at Black Friday alone, which obviously the Mag Mile has always been a big draw on Black Friday, foot traffic was down 70 to 80%. So that has been an issue. You know, they think it'll come back eventually. Other issues that came up this year was obviously the looting incidents that occurred. There were two, that one at the end of May, beginning of June, and then another in August. A lot of retailers had their windows boarded up for months, simply in part because it just took a really, there are so many windows boarded up around the city, it took a really long time to get anybody in to fix it. Most of that is out now, and I'm told by the CEO of the Mag Mile Association that consumer sentiment, positive consumer sentiment, is returning. But there is going to be a lot of recovery that needs to happen after the pandemic.
Is there an idea? I mean, you say that they're talking about other things that they can do there, maybe other than retail. I mean, we're talking about it being sort of like a destination, you know, more bars and restaurants, that kind of stuff that are not as dependent upon retail.
So some of the ideas that were thrown out to me and the folks I was talking to were urban planners and architects and real estate experts. So they were throwing around, you know, if you think about Macy's, for example, that's leaving Water Tower Place, it's in a huge spot. It's 170,000 square feet, which it's hard to quantify, but the Gap that's leaving on the Mag Mile, which is easily, you can easily picture that, right? That's about 28,000. So the Macy's is huge. One expert I talked to said, you know, maybe a Topgolf goes in or one of those indoor skydiving experiences. The other option is maybe you break it up a little bit. You know, you put smaller stores in there. But other folks were saying, you know, maybe you go to the Mag Mile, there's more theaters that go in, or there are jugglers performing in the street or sidewalk cafes, that sort of thing. I was picturing Les Ramblas in Barcelona, which is similar, right? They have a lot of shopping experience. It's drawn there, but you do go there to hang out, which was interesting. Now, the CEO of the Mag Mile Association pointed out to me that not everything that sounds like a good idea is necessarily possible on such a functional street as Michigan Avenue, where there are a lot of bus routes and some big, well-known hospitals nearby that the traffic needs to keep flowing for. But it was interesting to kind of talk about, you know, what it could develop into there.
Thanks so much. Good insight, Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter at Crain's Chicago Business.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. There's a development involving Mike Madigan's bid to retain his position as Speaker of the Illinois House.
This is Rob Hart. The Chicago Teachers Union is pushing for a pause as Chicago Public Schools resumes limited in-person learning for the first time since March.
This year's Year's highly anticipated Consumer Electronics Show has a new format because of the pandemic. We'll get a preview. And it is Stock Picker Monday at 12:49. Some ideas from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the Dow down 54, NASDAQ down 96, and the S&P is down 14 points. Oil is flat today. Clouds, a little bit of sunshine here and there as we head to a high of 31 degrees. Right now, it's 26 degrees. Michael Madigan says he is suspending his bid for another term as Speaker of the Illinois House, but is not withdrawing from the race. Madigan made the announcement today after gaining only 51 of the 60 votes needed to retain his leadership position. His nearest challenger, State Representative Ann Williams of Chicago, secured only 18 votes during a closed-door vote of the House Democratic Caucus. The Chicago Teachers Union is renewing its call to hold off on in-person instruction as some students return to classrooms today.
The Chicago Teachers Union is once again calling on Chicago public schools to press pause on in-person learning until the test positivity rate falls below 3%. In-person instruction for pre-K and special education students starts today. Kindergarten through 8th grade can return on February 1st. The CTU held a news conference this morning outside of Nathan Davis Elementary School on the southwest side, where preschool teacher Kate O'Rourke says families who signed up for in-person learning changed their mind.
We had about a dozen, 12, between 10 and 20 students signed up for in-person learning across five classes. But every single one of those families pulled out last week.
Chicago Public Schools says that of the staff members who were required to report to work last week, 65% did so, and they expect that number to rise as time goes on. Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 FM.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are a little lower. The Dow down 66, NASDAQ down 101, and the S&P down 16. Let's see what's going on. Steve Esposito is here, Executive Director at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Steve, it's good to have you back on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Thank you for having me. It's looking pretty good here. The breadth of the market, however, is negative. You got 23 down to 15 up on the New York Stock Exchange. But we're seeing money heading back into those reopening stocks, which is important. A lot of the financials, some of the healthcare stocks, some of the cyclicals, I mean, most of the cyclicals as far as the retail sector, energy sector. So you're seeing some bids there, but technology's weak. So that could be the continued rotation, and I think that's positive.
Is the market at all paying attention to what happened at the Capitol last week? Are they seeing that as something sort of isolated and moving beyond it into the future?
You know, it's hard to tell right now because the economy is on such a good footing going forward. There's obviously areas that are not doing well, and we wish they would all get better, and hopefully the government will step in with some stimulus. But I think the market's anticipating that stimulus. Also looking at a lot of earnings expectations are being raised by Wall Street analysts for the other areas, like financials, like energy demand coming up. So I think overall it could be a very good year, barring anything out of Washington, D.C. that really rocks the boat. But I'm pretty bullish in general, primarily on cyclicals. I think that's where I'd be putting the bulk of my money and where I can get dividends as well in those cyclical stocks.
Yeah, there's dividends. Talk about that a little more, because that's something that I don't think it's talked about enough, the fact that in any market, there's really a way for you to at least guarantee some sort of income.
Absolutely. If you can find a lot of these cyclicals that are paying 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8% in some instances, you want to look at some of those for your portfolio just to give you that extra kick in terms of the return, but at the same time giving you some cash flow if you need it. So, there, you know, while we had a nice rally here in the last 4 months, it's been fantastic. I still think there's a lot more room to go going forward as we enter and hopefully reopen in this economy in the next 90 days. And then you'll start to see even more and more activity in terms of analysts raising guidance. And I think those stocks are still underowned and underloved, way underowned and underloved. And I think they've got a lot more room to go upside.
When it comes to some of the tech stocks, I mean, in general, is that sector maybe a little overheated, or is that where the growth is going to be going forward?
Well, a lot of the growth is already built into the stocks. You know, I'm a person, I've been doing this for nearly 40 years now. I like to buy companies where the stock price has to catch up to the profits. In other words, the stock's way undervalued versus profitability and balance sheet, as opposed to a stock who's way out ahead of itself and the earnings have to catch up. I think there's more risk there, more speculation, and that's been paying off up until the last 90 days. So I think that rotation we saw back in the 1999-2000 dot-com bubble, that rotation and other rotations we've seen in the past from one sector to the other. Another factor about the cyclicals is on the chart side of it, on the quant side of it, a lot of these companies are breaking through their 50 and 200-day moving averages, and their RSI is moving up, in fact, above many of these tech players. So you may be able to have a combination of cyclicals, value, and really the quant traders getting involved in the sector all in the next 30 to 90 days as we approach March 1st.
Thanks so much for the insight. Steve Esposito, Executive Director at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Just ahead, a preview of this year's Consumer Electronics Show later in the show, 12:49, Stock Picker Monday.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The annual Consumer Electronics Show opens today in an all-digital format for the first time in its history. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of TechIsh.com, based in San Francisco. Jennifer, I mean, I guess it's good to have a show, but ordinarily you'd be on the floor seeing all kinds of gadgets. I imagine virtual is not quite as fun.
It's not quite the same. This would have been my 12th year. And if you can imagine, an area, gadgets spread out the area of about 75 football fields, almost 250,000 people. I mean, it's just the end all be all for tech nerds like me. So while we have to do it all online this year, the companies have been sending some pretty cool stuff for me to try out, unbox, and go hands-on with at home. So there's still a lot of excitement, but no traveling to Las Vegas.
Well, let's talk about some of the healthier things. I have to imagine in the middle of a pandemic that a lot of these gadgets have to do with health.
They really do. And, you know, in the past, they've promised us a lot of health-related gadgets, but now it's kind of the time for a little reckoning between the tech world and the people who really need them to pull through with these devices now. One of the most interesting I've seen so far is the bio button. It's a sticker the size of a silver dollar. You put it on your upper chest with a medical adhesive, and it uses sensors to continuously track a whole bunch of different measurement points, skin temperature, respiratory rate, heart rate, activity level, even sleep. And the maker, it's out of a company called BioIntelliSense, they say after a few days, the gadget can collect enough data to identify if you have symptoms of possible COVID-19 infection, even if you don't know that you're sick. So imagine the early intervention that could take place once this gadget gets up and running.
What about ways to keep germs away? You know, I mean, you hear a few devices that are trying to do that.
One of the coolest gadgets I've gone hands-on with already is AirPop's new Active Plus mask. It comes with a sensor that connects to your smartphone via Bluetooth, monitoring everything from breaths per minute to outside air quality. It even tells you via notification on your smartphone when you need to replace the mask filter. I've also checked out a giant robotic UVC light that strolls through various rooms and zaps out, you know, sends out these UVC rays to sterilize entire rooms. But one of the coolest things I've gone hands-on with so far is the two office antimicrobial backpack. This is out of tech accessory company Targus. And it's made out of silver ion material, so the German bacteria fighting features are threaded and embedded throughout the durable fiber. And it really helps create a cleaner barrier between the outside world if you're traveling to work, to school, traveling at all, and you put the backpack down or you put your gadgets after they've been on your desk in your office back into your backpack and you bring them home. This backpack alone creates a cleaner barrier between that outside world and your safe little bubble at home. This out in April for around $120.
Well, yeah, so a lot of health. That's, I don't think, unexpected. Anything fun, though? Any sort of gadgets that you'd say, hey, that's going to make my life easier?
Well, I am so excited. I just got notification that it arrived at the post office. I'm running out to pick it up. A gadget called AirPlug. It's a 360-degree wireless charging system so that basically you walk in your door and it can start supplying power to devices that are up to 65 feet away in any direction. So it can charge your gadgets without you having to plug them in. So that's just going to make life so much easier.
It almost seems like, yeah, I mean, like your phone would just constantly be charged as long as you're at the house.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that's fantastic. And then some of the fun stuff, you know, toilet tech has been the talk of the town for several CESs running now. And Kohler just launched and showed off their newest touchless toilet. I mean, who needs to flush with their fingers when a wave of the hand does the trick, right?
That would seem like that is certainly more sanitary than having to touch that toilet.
Exactly. They have also just launched a new series of touchless faucets with integrated sensors to keep you from having to go actual fingers on any potentially germy surfaces. And then Delight is a big buzzword this year. They also launched a stillness bath. It's this incredibly high-end, beautiful Japanese zen-like square tub with light, fog, and aromatherapy to create a spa-like experience at home.
Yeah, if you can't go to the spa, bring it right to the house. Man, it's good stuff. Thank you, Jennifer Jolly. The virtual Consumer Electronics Show is opening today. Jennifer's USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Tim Grisky is joining us, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Tim, it's good to have you on the show. What's your first pick today?
Thanks, Cisco. Good afternoon. First one's going to be NVIDIA. The symbol is NVDA. This is a developer of graphics chips, semiconductors, for video gaming, virtual reality, the cloud data centers. Artificial intelligence and high performance computing in general. Also for autonomous vehicles, self-driving vehicles and robots. And so it is really part of the future, we think, in terms of the development of technology. And they play just such a key part, especially in the gaming area and data center and vehicles.
Okay, so NVIDIA, it's $5.55 a share. Where do you think it's headed?
Well, we think it's just a great long-term holding for any investor. It's certainly not an inexpensively priced security, so not for the faint of heart. But over the long term, you're going to get great growth out of this company, we think, especially in the next 12 months.
Okay, that's NVIDIA, ticker symbol NVDA. What's your second pick?
Second one is Solar Edge Technologies. The symbol is SEDG. So this is a green company, very critical in the solar power industry. Their main product is an inverter, converting AC and DC to power. They also do power optimizers, monitoring equipment, software tools, and electric vehicle charges. So this is a green company. A lot of money is flowing into so-called impact investing or ESG investing, which favors companies like this. And they've got just a great growth ahead of them, especially with this new administration coming into D.C.
And this stock, 353, this is another one you see as a good long-term holding?
Exactly. I really look at this as a core part of a green portfolio and probably just any portfolio.
Thanks so much. That is Tim Grisky. He's Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council. He's our Monday stock picker today. Again, his two picks, NVIDIA, NVDA, also Solar Edge Technologies, that ticker symbol, SEDG. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour or any edition of the Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast, always available at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.